Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And joining me right now is a guest who most of you in the region know. He's a war hero who was awarded the Purple Heart and Bronze Star, four-time Super Bowl winner with the Steelers, motivational speaker and author. And you know, Rocky, this is none other than Rocky Blair. Rocky, it's truly a delight to have you back on the show. How are you, Rocky?
I'm fine, Raja. How are you doing as we kick off this brand new year, 2019? My goodness gracious.
I know. I know. And you know what? And I can't think of a better guest than you. In fact, it's funny, Rocky. I send out an email blast, Daryl does. And I have a president of my company, and he used to work at Accenture. And he came like right, came to my, you know, called me right off the bat after the email was sent out. He said, I can't believe you're Rocky Blair on. He came and spoke to, you know, all the executive leadership at Accenture, and they absolutely loved them.
So I'm glad to hear you. Oh, there we go. Yes, I remember when, oh, man, get me all choked up here. No. I remember when I had the opportunity to speak to them. Yeah, and it was a great group.
Yeah, no, awesome.
People, yeah.
So yeah, and they fondly remember you. So let's start off here, Rocky. Now, you wrote your book a long time ago. Fighting Back was written a long time. And now you have released a new version of this a few months ago. So what made you decide to do that?
Well, it was, you know, so it was like I'm a one-trick wonder, okay? So we wrote the book right after, back in 1975, right. I think, right after Super Bowl IX, and then it came out that year, 75. And so then, like some 20 years later, I added a couple chapters to it. You know? And then 20 years later, I added, an epilogue, brought it up to date. But what had transpired over this period of time, and I'd run into, I'd run into people. And as we were talking, they'd say, the first book I ever read in fifth grade, sixth grade, junior high, or high school, that I had to write a report on was your book, Fighting Back. And I want to thank you for that, blah, blah, blah. So it was a generation and a generation. And then all of it got to thinking again, there's a whole generation out there that had not read the book or not been introduced to it. I thought, well, for those now parents and or grandparents who had that experience of reading the book back when it first came out, I thought this would be a great gift to be able to pass on to their families and to their sons and daughters and to their grandkids as well. So that was kind of the impetus of what we got back, of why we came back out with it. Then I had Gene Collier from Post Gazette do a professional job in adding two more chapters at the end of the book, kind of bringing it up to date of my family and what it's taken place and so on. And so he's done a remarkable job, as I may mention there, in doing that. And then we gave it a whole new look, new pictures, a crispness of paper, new design in the cover, and probably the biggest hook. And the biggest hook is that the proceeds of the book go to veteran organizations that we support that are here in the Pittsburgh area and on a national basis. It's about, being able to have that opportunity to give back. So that people who either got the book or was going to buy the book, thinking that, okay, fine, at least the proceeds are going on to help, other people in their lives, and specifically our veterans who have given so much to their country and have sacrificed so much, even within their families. So that was the gist of why and how it took off. And so I was very, very happy to be able to kick it off in August and throughout the fall, and we continue to do quite well in so, in selling the promotion of the book. So
yeah.
I thank you for this opportunity just to be able to talk about it. But that's how it got started, and that was the reason why we undertook the project. And I thought the veterans was a great cause in which people could help know that, you know, their money is going to
worthy cause.
Giving back to the community. Yeah.
So worthy cause. So
Rocky, how can our listeners buy the book now as we are on the air? How do they?
Well, there's two places right now. One is that if you go online, and that is Fighting Back for Veterans. It's called fightingbackforveterans.com. That'll take you to the website.
Okay.
So fightingbackforveterans.com. And in that case specifically, you'll get an autographed copy of the book.
Awesome.
If you can't wait, you can we've been very fortunate to partner with Giant Eagle, Giant Eagle in 67 of their stores are carrying the book Fighting Back.
Awesome.
The only thing there is that it's not autographed.
So here's what I'm going to do, Rocky. I tried to buy a Kindle version. I couldn't. So I'm going to go to the Giant Eagle right down and come over to your house now to get the autograph.
That's it. Well, you can do that. You can do that. That's fine to do that. No Kindle version as of yet.
And do you expect I was going to say, especially you're talking about, you know, passing this on for the next generation. I got to tell you, my kids, and I know your daughter, Rosie, used to play with my older daughter, Isana.
Right.
Everything they do is on the phone right now, Rocky. So I think them, a Kindle version would be great.
Well, that's right. I mean, in that whole generation, that younger generation, obviously, which drives us older people nuts.
It does.
Always on the phone. They prefer to text you
right.
rather than call you.
I'm digressing for a second. I have a friend, like he has two kids. So when he wants to tell his son to call his daughter for dinner, she doesn't shout, which is like one floor up. She texts them, and that's the only way they come down. It's crazy.
Right.
It's crazy.
So now,
Rocky, you are an inspiration. You're a motivational speaker, and you know, as I said, Accenture loves you. So you know, at least there's two stories in your life that you know you've talked about in this book. So let's start with Vietnam, and you know, maybe you can give our listeners. And I've heard the story, and I know this well, but every time I'm spellbounded. So maybe we'll go back to April 30th. You know, talk a little bit about that day and what it meant to you.
Well, is that, you know, it was a period of time, you know, within our country that, you know, a lot was going on. A lot, and I do mean a lot, from a social perspective and demonstrations, student movements against the war. It was not a popular conflict that we were in at that time. The question is, why are we in this conflict? What are we doing over in this country? You know, it's not that they are invading us. And then it became a student movement as far as protests against the war and so on. So all of a sudden, that soldier who was drafted and or enlisted and fought during that period of time was identified with the conflict and didn't really get the recognition of just serving his country or serving time, whether or not you agreed with what war was taking place. And so as he came back from Vietnam, that soldier came back from Vietnam, he had to repress all of his feelings and emotions. A lot of times it was directed towards him as he was getting on a plane. He said, on flight, it might be better if you changed into civilian clothes rather than wearing your uniform when you depart from this plane, landing in L.A. or Dallas, wherever it might be. Because of the way people thought.
And then how sad, well, isn't it, Rocky, that you're serving your country here, and then you have to change into civilian? Oh, what a sad situation.
So that's right. So that veteran came back, and I mean, they repressed their feelings. They had no one to talk about whatever took place, and they got married. They got a job. They went about their lives. They raised their families. Some suffered from post-traumatic stress, and Agent Orange was a big factor in the health and care of some of the veterans later on in their years. So it wasn't accepted. And finally, they finally got their due as a veteran and the recognition from the American people that they served. Thanks. So anyway, so that was kind of the background taking place. So in my case specifically, I came here and as a rookie in 1968 and as a highly touted 16th round draft choice, which was the 417th person picked in the draft that year.
And you were the captain of the Notre Dame College, championship
right.
team.
That's right. And so it was so I got a chance. I made the team, special teams primarily. But like everybody else, you had a student deferment, and then all of a sudden that changed to a 1A classification, which meant that you were eligible for the draft that year. And so then you had a choice, and that choice was to either go into the reserve or the National Guard and wait for the draft, to come. And so I was trying to find out where I was going, and all of a sudden I got caught and I got drafted. And all of a sudden, 2 days later, boom, I was gone, basic training. And eventually, after advanced infantry training, found myself in Vietnam. Spent 4.5 months in country when we were in a hostile area and eventually ran into opposing fighting force. And I got hit twice that day, both in the legs, one by an AK-47, second by a grenade. And so I had damage to my right foot primarily. Ultimately, the prognosis was, well, you'll have a normal life, but don't expect to play football again because of the damage that had taken place. So through the good graces of the Steeler organization, hard work, and I think this, and we were talking about, motivation or what takes place, and it's really having an idea of what you want to do or so on. I mean, I wanted to come back and play. That became my focal point. And I suppose part of the, as I perceived this, injuries or both of the injuries to my legs at the time was that, okay, fine. As an active athlete and not even having to be an athlete, but anybody, as we grew up and kids played in the backyard, played outside, picked up games, whatever it might be, whether they were organized, there was always scrapes, bumps, bruises, sometimes broken bones that would take place. And ultimately those injuries would heal, and by God, you'd be back out in the backyard playing again. So it was kind of that thought process. And my thought process was, well, okay, I've been hurt before. I've been damaged. I didn't lose an arm or a leg. It just means that it'll take time to rehab, and you have to do whatever you possibly can to be able to put yourself in a position to be able to in my case, come back and make the team.
Yeah, and Rocky, we want you to continue this, and we've got to go to a commercial break. But once again, ladies and gentlemen, the story you're hearing from Rocky, you want to read that and be inspired, go to the website, fightbackforveterans.com. It's available right now. You can go there, and you can purchase it directly from this site. It's an autographed copy from Rocky Blair. Otherwise, you can go to any Giant Eagle that we have in our area, or most Giant Eagles, and you can get this book. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have been talking with Rocky Blair, the war hero, was awarded the Purple Heart and Bronze Star four-time Super Bowl winner with the Steelers, motivational speaker and author, and we're going to talk about his motivational speeches too. So you stay tuned and how you can have him be a speaker too. This is your host, Raja, and we'll be right back.
It's The Raja Show.
KTKA Radio.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We've been speaking with Rocky Blair, war hero awarded the Purple Heart and Bronze Star, four-time Super Bowl winner with the Steelers, motivational speaker and author. Now, Rocky has a brand new, it's a book written first in 1975, a couple of new chapters, and a new hardback. So you can go to fightbackforveterans.com right now. You can go right now. You want to be inspired. You want to be motivated. Rocky is what, you know, motivational speaker. You know, you go read the book right now. Fightbackforveterans.com, or you can go to most of the Giant Eagles and buy. Rocky, thank you for being on the show again. And, you know, you talked a little bit about what happened in Vietnam, and now you're back. You're back to the Steelers, and you come back after being injured. And what happens then?
Well, you know, as I tell people, and we talked about people, is that, you know, in our lives, the only thing that we have are opportunities, and it's really what we do with that opportunity or with that time. So when I came back in 1970, the Steeler organization, being the organization that they are, you know, welcomed me back and gave me an opportunity to go to training camp. I limped through training camp. They kept me all the way through training camp during that period of time. And eventually, Chuck Knoll was there. It was his second year in 1970, you know, making the decision that he had to, released me. Come back next year and do whatever we'll welcome you back, do whatever you need to do in the off season and come back. And they said, okay, fine. The next morning I get a call from the late Dan Rooney, who was then president of the club. And he said, I'm sorry, I wasn't there. I talked to Chuck. We're going to put you on injured reserve. And we want our doctors to take a look at you. And I think, we'll give you another operation and maybe you can come back and help us. So they bought me a year. And I say this in all honesty. They put me in injured reserve. I had shrapnel that still had to be removed. And so they did that. And I came back the following year. And I made the developmental squad or the taxi squad, as it was called back then. You know, you practiced and you're part of the team. You didn't play. But they bought me 2 years. And it's what you do with those 2 years. I worked out. I got stronger. I was healing. I did all the things that were necessary. And so by 1972, I came back and I made the team. And I made the team, and I tell them in the chronological order, in 72 and 73. 72, I made the team, never carried the ball. You know, I played special teams. 73, I carried the ball 1 year. But in both of those years, I was the leading ground gainer during the exhibition season. We had six exhibition games. And then in 1974, I came back again after I almost quit the team. And was the leading ground gainer during the exhibition season. And I tell people the reason I was the leading ground gainer wasn't because of the fact I was bigger, faster than any of the other running backs. It was the simple fact that during this period of time, I played more than anybody else because they were trying to make a decision on me. I carried the ball more than anybody else. Given those two simple statistics, I better be the leading ground gainer during that period of time, because all they were providing for me, at least, was an opportunity to make the team. And so they had to keep. So in that regard, they kept me. And I was the fifth running back out of four. And then all of a sudden, things start to change. Franco got hurt. Backup became a starter. I became the backup to the backup. And then the backup got hurt. And then I was inserted in the game. And, you know, it was a game we won. And we continued to play. And once more. And then Franco came back. And he and I were paired together in the backfield. And we win the division. We go to the Super Bowl for the first time. And we win that Super Bowl. And part of that whole reason, and the reason I got a chance to play, unbeknownst to me after the whole career, was, as I tell people, one of the things that we possess, no matter what we may do in our lives, one of the things we possess is that we all possess the talent. own to ourselves, unique in ourselves. And it's our responsibility to be able to define what that talent is and how we bring it back to our society and our community and our families. And in this case, specifically, and especially in the world of football, you know, my one talent was the ability to block. For instance, Chuck Noll had said to our backfield coach, you know, you have a weakness in your backfield. Who's your best blocker? He said, Blyer. He said, well, then start him. One talent. And then really it's that one fine line of one that connects all of our lives together of how we got to where we are today with the talent that we have, the opportunities that exist, you know, and your desire to focus on being able to accomplish those opportunities. And so given that, that's what this story is all about. And it's kind of a, you know, it's not my story. It's a universal story told about me. But there's a lot of great stories about people who have overcome odds within their lives. I just happen to be one that was very focused in the world of football and became very prominent in the Super Bowls that we won and the success that we had throughout the 70s. So, you know, again, that's why we brought the book out, because not pat myself on the back, but it's one of those stories that you want your kids to be able to read and really relate to, that, you know, there are things that are tough, but we can overcome them. You know, you have to have a focus and you have to have a passion. Try to get a, you know, and you, because opportunities will come and you'll make your own breaks, as we found out. It was kind of like the nature of life. And this one was told in a story way.
And Rocky, this is, you know, truly inspirational for all of us. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you can go buy the book right now. Go to fightbackforveterans.com. And remember, part of the proceeds are going to a veteran cause. So not only are you going to be inspired, you're also supporting the veterans. Or you can go to the Giant Eagle and get this book now. Now, Rocky, I want to digress a little bit and talk a little bit about your motivational speaking at organizations. Several of our listeners own companies. How do they, you know, if they wanted you to come speak, you know, to inspire, whether it's their sales team or just their executive leadership, how does one do that, Rocky?
That's very simple. That's very simple. You can go to rockyblyer.com. In this world of technology and instant access, that's my website, and gives you all the information on how to contact me and where to go. And you end up talking to my assistant, Gloria Ashcraft. That's the best way.
Just rockyblyer.com. And one of the things that, I read on your website is, like when you speak to these audiences, you talk about, you know, how one can be the best they can be. You're right. We get opportunities, but also you use your talent. The one thing that I've read is that, you were making the Steelers there, but what, you know, most people may not know is that you ran a 40-yard dash in 4.6 seconds, which beat your pre-Vietnam mark by 0.2 seconds. This is after you were injured.
Well, you know, so you try. So the thing is this. So you go, okay, fine. It was, you know, this is going back 1973. We got our first stretching coach. You know, you would think, okay, fine. But in 1973, Paul Urim from Butler, Pennsylvania, became our first stretching, might have been 72, and our first stretching coach. Because Chuck Noll, you know, was very attuned to injuries that had taken place later on in the season, and ultimately which led to our first strength coach, and to be able to maintain strength consistently throughout the season as you wear down or tear down. So anyway, Paul Urim, and I talked to Paul Urim, and, you know, and I just mentioned the fact that he had worked with our Olympic teams in conditioning and training and stretching, I said, well, how can one increase his speed? You know, I mean, because I knew that was, you know, that was a key. And I had good speed. I was very quick, not necessarily fast. And so it was, through Paul Urim, I met a professor of physiology, and we talked about what it takes to increase one's speed. And so he gave me a program. I worked on the program. And then, we came back, and in training camp, we ran the 40-yard dash. And so this way, I mean, it didn't happen over, there was 72, 73. I think it was probably 73, the following year, 1973. I was bigger, stronger. I weighed 218 pounds. I bench pressed 460 pounds.
Wow, 460.
And, and so it was coming back. And, you know, I ran a 4.55, a 4.5, 4.55, and 4.6, 40. Three different clocks, you know, wow, at one time. And so I'm going to tell you this, the secret on the side is I never ran another one with the rest of my career. You know, you take the best you got.
I love it.
Don't ever run it again because...
That's awesome. That is awesome, Rocky. Hey, I want to switch gears again a little bit. And here's the one thing I want to say is... You know, we all know your Vietnam side, and we know your football success. But there was one time when, and this is a quote from your mother, which said that, you know, you would write letters to your family when you were in Vietnam. And they were deliberately funny. And you wrote, and this is what she says, they were very funny and deliberately written so we wouldn't have to suffer. And I've known you to be kind and gracious, Rocky. So, you know, clearly your mother is expressing that. So I want to say, is this something that you, from the very childhood, that this has been your personality?
Well, I suppose as it developed, my personality as it developed, you know, and it was part of the upbringing, part of being in the Midwest. And I grew up in Appleton, a small town, Appleton, right, Wisconsin, grew up in a neighborhood, had Catholic education, and you had the Notre Dame nuns for eight grades, and then I went Christian Brothers for 4 years, and then Holy Cross Priest for another 4 years. I get inundated, but it was those molding years by the good nuns that gave you the respect about giving back, and about what you're worthwhile, and the power that you had as an individual to influence other people, you know, and being good and being kind, and otherwise you'd get hit with a ruler. So you were good and kind. It became part of my, yes, it became just part
of your character. One thing I always say is, you know, your humility is an inspiration. And you know, for ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who don't know about Rocky Blair, you know, when he was in Xavier School, he was played basketball, all-conference basketball a couple years.
Right.
He was the senior top point getter in track, played first trumpet in the band, and then he gets his scholarship to Notre Dame, you know, the captain of his Notre Dame football team, and then in the rest of the story, you know. For a person who had such success at such an early age, you know, Rocky, thank you for your humility. Thank you for giving back. Thank you for all that you do for veterans in our region. Hey, we're coming to the close of our segment. Thank you so much for being on. And we look forward to having you on again sometime soon, Rocky.
Raj, thank you very much for having me. I enjoyed spending time with you and your audience.
Okay.
So, I'll see you in the hood.
Okay, see ya. Thank you, Rocky.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.